Good morning. We celebrate today one of the great feasts of the church, the Feast of All Saints, not just of all the canonized saints who don't have their own proper day in the calendar, but all the saints in the old scriptural, very broad sense of the term. All those from whom God's grace has been fruitful, all those on whom God's favor rests, i.e., all of us. We are the saints who have gone before us, the saints who are here with us, the saints who will come after us. Together, we are all saints. And that is the reality that we celebrate this morning. It's a reality that's very much countercultural. Hard to get an understanding of that in America today. This sense of community, this sense of family that embraces everybody. It seems that the trend is running very much in the other direction. 100 years ago, a family was a fairly large thing. And if you could get people to think in terms of extensions of their family, you could move on from there. But families were parents and children and grandparents and grandchildren and aunts and uncles and cousins and nieces and nephews and uncles and aunts and whoever, most of whom lived together in one family. After the war, we began to suburbanize. Folks began to move out and establish the nuclear family. And we reduced the family from this large crowd of people within whom we lived and moved and had our being to this little structure of mom and dad and a couple of kids and a dog and a cat. Well, today we've gone even farther than that. We've split the atom. The nuclear family has been broken up. We're down to subatomic particles. There's dad on his widescreen TV, and mom on her BlackBerry, and kids who are on things that I don't even know the names of yet, each in their own little world. And we each live in our own little world. And we think and we value and we judge each in our own little world. And that's a tragedy. And that's a tragedy that the feast today gives us both the ability and the challenge to overcome. Because if we're out there all by ourselves, we shall surely lose. We will be dead. And we will ultimately be very dead. We will pass from memory. It happens. It will happen to you. I can prove it. You know the names of your parents, don't you? You know the names of your grandparents. How many of your great-grandparents can you name? You have 8 of them. How many names can you call? Not many, I'll bet you. And in the generation before that, or their grandparents, these people have passed entirely from human memory. You may be able to dig them up somewhere in genealogical records. Some people do that for a hobby. But in terms of a living memory of a person and not just a name and a set of dates and some statistics, they have passed completely. And so will you. So if all you are is an individual, that individual will indeed be swallowed up by death and leave no trace. Doesn't sound like a fate that I want to contemplate. But our faith assures us that it's much bigger than that. That first of all, we are loved by God, and therefore we are not forgotten. No one passes from the memory of God. And then secondly, that God not only loves me, but God loves all these other folks, and therefore all of us exist together in the memory of God. And the memory of God is present and future as well as past, because God is outside of space and time. So we all dwell together in this one family, in God's presence. And therefore death is swallowed up in victory. That's the symbols of the day set out here before you. In the Mexican tradition, the cross, which is the symbol of death, is encrusted in flowers, a symbol of life. The skeleton, a symbol of our immortality, of our mortality, is wrapped in bright clothes and a hat and festive garments. It's a sign of immortality. Death is swallowed up in victory. Because we are a part of this communion of saints. The communion of saints, that's one of the doctrines of our faith. Remember, we do it all the time in the Creed. I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in the Holy Spirit, and I believe in the communion of saints. This is not the way, like when I thought when I was a kid, you know, an image of people in halos with wings kneeling at a rail receiving communion. It's not what it's about. It's about the community of saints, that all of us are in this together, that all of us love and are loved, that all of us pray and are prayed for. In the Middle Ages, they used to distinguish between the saints who were already in heaven and the souls who were still in purgatory, and we prayed to one and for the other. Now that we know that God is outside of space and time, and therefore being with God is being outside of space and time, we no longer try to distinguish who is already in heaven and who is still in purgatory. We know that each of us has a purgatorial process to go through, that God needs to pull me out of my selfishness and open me up to God's love. But what that looks like in terms of space and time is probably not a terribly relevant question. So we don't ask that question anymore. But all together, we pray for them and with them. And they in turn pray with and for us. How does that happen? We can't imagine, because we still have time, trouble getting outside of space and time. What does it mean that we can pray for Peter as he's tempted to deny Christ, that he may repent? I mean, that was 2,000 years ago. How can you pray for something that happened 2,000 years ago? But if God is outside of space and time, then our support means something to him in his hour of trial. And likewise, we can pray for people who will not be for thousands of years. We don't know who they will be or where they will be or what their challenges will be. But we stand together with them in prayer. All of us together as one family, one communion of saints. This is an enormous encouragement. If I am truly in this by myself, if I have been the split atom of American society, then I will be truly, truly dead. But if I am a part of this communion of saints, I can rely on that as my hope for immortality. And I can rely on it now, when I'm feeling tired, disappointed, angry, discouraged, depressed, crucified, when I'm ready to quit. I can rely on the support of all my sisters and brothers, all of you here, and all those who have gone before us, and all those who will come after us. It sustains me in the struggle to know that I'm a part of this communion of saints. Of course, it also challenges me. If we go back to the American society version, and I am what is, then I make decisions on the basis of what is good for me here now. And that's the way decisions mostly get made in this country today. But if I am a part of this communion of saints, then I must take a much broader perspective. I must think about what is best for us completely, overall. I have an obligation to those who went before me to keep their tradition alive and to pass it on and to help it develop. Both of those are important in my duty of loyalty to those who went before. Those who just want to take what we got from our grandparents and freeze it and pass it on unchanged by the progress in reality. are carving out something that's farther and farther divorced from reality and will sooner or later be ignored and is therefore in no way really faithful to the tradition. But those who, on the other hand, want to simply ignore, not even learn, much less try to reinterpret and pass on what has been given us by our ancestors, are unfaithful to that heritage. We have to take all of that into consideration. What is a faithful passing on, a reinterpretation and handing on of what has been given us by those who went before us? It's a part of our decision-making framework. And likewise, the future. Just as we receive the world as a gift from those whose memories we cherish, those who come after us will receive the world as a gift from us. Will they be as happy with the gift that they received as we were? We have to think about that. That's the modern phrase for that now is sustainability. And that just doesn't mean something in an economic sense or even in a climactic sense, although it does mean both of those. It means in a personal sense and in a cultural sense. If what I'm doing now makes it better for the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that, it's probably good. If what I'm doing now consumes resources, whether it's ecological or cultural or spiritual or whatever, without passing them on, it's probably bad. That's a much larger framework for decision making. A much greater challenge to decide moral questions in terms of the communion of saints, the whole of God's family, the completeness of God's creation. But then, we do have that sustain factor, the support factor of that same communion. We stand within that community, and that gives us the strength to respond to the needs of that community. But we can't do that just in the abstract. Human beings don't function the way computers function. If we are going to remember the generations before us and think about them when we make decisions, we need to call their names and preserve their memories. If we are going to make decisions for the generations that come after us, then we need to hold them in our arms and look them in the eyes. We need to particularize for ourselves this communion of saints. The church does that for all of us together by canonizing some great leaders, some great examples, and we call their names in prayer and know that they stand with us. But then we each have our own memories, people who were special to us, people who have gone before us, people who have fast passed on God's gifts to us, and we need to call their names as well. And know that they too stand with us in prayer. That we are all one family, one communion of saints at the banquet table of our one God. For that, my sisters and brothers, let us in great joy pray with all the saints.